Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It is Tuesday at 9:40, and we check in with our friends at SailSportTalk.com, and we have Captain Marie Rogers with us. And I understand, Karen, you have joined too?
I'm here. Yes, indeed.
Karen Lyle is also with us as well. All right. And so, Marie, you are the second woman in 118 years and of African heritage to be Commodore of the historic Los Angeles Yacht Club. And so today we're talking about something called Sailing is for Everyone, Casting a Wider Net of Inclusion. And over the years, as I've done these shows with Karen and also with Patty Mangan, we have been trying to erase the reputation that sailing is just for the super rich. So I guess that's what you're getting after, right, Marie?
It's such a fun sport, and there are ways to get on the water that don't involve being a multimillionaire.
So, Marie, one of the things that you and I have talked about on many occasions is that you don't have to belong to a yacht club or even have any affiliation to start sailing. What is it that appeals to people that brings them into sailing? You've been talking about this at the National Women's Sailing Association this last summer at over in New Orleans, but can you tell us a little bit about this from your perspective?
Well, when we think about it, I mean, who doesn't really like being near the water or in the water? When we take vacations, typically they're to like beach destinations, or we make dinner reservations. It's like so much fun to be next to the water, like say in the Bay Area or, you know, in New Orleans or places like that, Southern California, where I live. It's really nice to be near the water. And, you know, psychologists, you know, scientists have been studying this for a long time. Why are we so drawn to the water? Why is it that when you go to Disneyland and to SeaWorld, places like that, why there are these water attractions? And as organisms, we love being near the water. It's just that having safe access to the water is something kind of new in this modern history. And I say modern history, the last maybe couple hundred years, but in old times, from ancient times, it was very natural for us to be swimmers or, fish and be near the water. So sailing is really just an extension of that experience.
Can you tell us a little bit of your time on the Kazan and the Trans Pac, and just what that entailed, how long it took, some of the privations, some of the perilous moments?
Trans Pac is a lot of fun, or any kind of long distance offshore racing is really fun, but it's a lot of work. It's like a good, at least a year of preparation, finding a crew, finding the people, the right chemistry of the personality together, the boat prep, the food prep. But basically, if you can imagine, for those who are listening who have been on a sailboat, maybe didn't like sails, in a lake or an ocean someplace, but imagine doing that nonstop 24 hours a day for days, in some cases a week or 2 weeks. So that means you have, depending on the size of the boat, you have a crew of a certain size. So in Kazan, I believe there were 9 of us. And so while part of the crew is basically running the boat and going super fast, the rest of the crew is hopefully, sleeping, going to the potty or making meals. So it's a constant thing. It's like going to the gym every 3 or 4 hours and then trying to sleep in between. Doing that, because when you're coming out, it's racing, it's not just cruising, so you're actively working out. It's like if you've seen America's Cup or anything like that, they're not just sort of lying around on deck. I mean, they're working. So it's very strenuous, but it's so rewarding.
Well, and congratulations to Good Trouble, which was the boat that you sailed in this last Trans Pac. that had a majority of crew that was people of color in a race that has not had that before.
Yeah, it's so kooky. I mean, if you we had a majority of you know, minority crew, and we had, you know, black people, Asian, South Asian, one American Indian crew member, and for the world, or I guess the racing world, that was like so kind of weird, and people kind of talked about like, well, why do this? Why is this such a big thing? It's like, you know, the whole purpose was to give people the opportunity. It's a really, okay, when you look at sailing, it's a whole spectrum of different types of sailing. It's not all the same, but when you get into anything that's high performance, especially offshore racing, even inshore racing, like even in like San Francisco Bay, I mean, it's super competitive, and most of those people are yacht club people, and they grew up next to the water. Well, most people of color did not grow up near the water in the last, you know, couple centuries, because the land wasn't made available, you know, residences weren't made available for people who were not white to reside next to the water. I mean, there's a whole history. If you don't believe me, Google it. But because people with money put their beach homes, you know, at the beaches and the coast, and they didn't want, you know, their maids living next door to them, there was really no equality that way. And so that's one of the reasons that sailing looks to be a very rich man, especially white male sport, because you don't see this diversity. But, you know, a lot of us are really trying to change that. One of the things I'm really active in right now is just trying to get different types of people interested in the sport of sailing. I've been inviting people onto my private boats, you know, for the last decade and a half, and having a really great time. And then trying to get people kind of like hooked in it. And, you know, if you want to sail regularly, you really would be best having a membership at a community sailing facility. Or if you want to go, if you can afford a yacht club and want to go that way, you know, that's available to people as well. I mean, the restrictions aren't really there like before, when not just anybody could walk in most yacht clubs. They were very restrictive in terms of, you know, race, gender, and all that kind of stuff. Some of them still are, but I believe it's all changing. But, yeah, it's, you know, I keep trying to get people interested in coming out. It's just that it's just so hard to imagine that you have a boat full of minorities.
I think your story is amazing, how your friend, his friends were in the LA Yacht Club, and so your son goes on a boat, and then there's a man running the junior program, and he said, hey, why don't you come on? You end up getting married to that man, Bill, and then you become Commodore. This is at least a Hallmark movie. I mean, come on.
And it wasn't. I just love being on the boat. I love racing. I love high performance. I love endurance sports. Like, I was, when I met my husband at the time, I was, you know, running marathons, like at least one or two. In one case, three a year. I did an ultra marathon when I turned 50. I ran 50 miles. And I just love being in the outdoors. I love that kind of pushing yourself to the extremes. But to do that with sailing, like it never occurred to me that was possible. And so I met Bill, and we started racing. And then I took it farther than really he wanted to do it. He has no interest. Kind of racing offshore like that. But yeah, it's funny, the whole story.
Well, and I just so much appreciate the hospitality that you and Bill have shown me when I've been in town, because I've been your guest at your home with your horses and that beautiful up in Rolling Hills. It's just it's gorgeous. And you know, and also Bill has been a Commodore too of the Los Angeles Yacht Club, so you are both past Commodores and sailors, and you have two boats, and you're out there doing it. You were in the British Virgin Islands the U.S. Virgin Islands recently as a hired captain for an all-women's crew. Tell us about that.
Oh, so cool. Yeah, so my friend, she's probably been on the show, Betsy Crowfoot, who writes for Sailing Magazine and other nautical magazines, wanted to do a story on women who actually go to these destinations without a man and actually charter a boat for several days or weeks and do island hopping. And so she asked if I would like to be the captain so that they didn't have to have a male. And there are women captains around, but believe me, they're booked up like all the time because more and more women are doing this. But yeah, so we flew into St. Thomas, picked up the boat, and immediately went over to St. John. And it's wonderful because the National Park Service runs like the mooring services. So you don't have to anchor every place, but some places you do. But it was really nice. There weren't a lot of people there. We got a lot of swimming in, and the people on the boat were new to sailing. So it was fun kind of teaching them everything. And at the same time, I mean, I'm not really a fan of being a tourist. I love running the boat and then exploring. So I was troubleshooting when things were kind of weird. This wasn't my boat. I'd never been on it before, but it was a big catamaran. And we had everything. We had lovely sunsets and little cocktail parties in the evening. It was a dreamy kind of situation.
Well, it's Marie Rogers.
St. John's, it's so pretty. Oh, so go ahead. Give please station ID, Rick.
Just saying, we've been speaking with Marie Rogers, who so accomplished. We went over a lot of it at the Los Angeles Yacht Club, also on the U.S. Sailing Board of Directors, on the NWSA board, speaker at the Southern Yacht Club. And our friend, Marie, thank you so much for being on the show again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks, Karen. Talk with you soon.
It's so good to talk to you, Marie. We'll be sailing again
soon.
All right. And Karen, thanks for coming by again for another. Was this 301 now?
It is 301 on the first week of January 2025, and I know we should be evergreen, but I like to keep the chronology too. It's all good.
All right, well done. Thanks, Karen.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll come on back on Sports Byline USA.